Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. Verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for what you have allowed us thus far this morning. Lord, thank you for the music and the songs that we can sing. Oh God, I trust that it is well with every soul. And Lord, I pray that if it is not, that by the end of this service it will be. That repentance will be applied and the glory of God might shine in every heart. I pray, Lord, for the power and the anointing of your Spirit as we come into your Word this morning. For only you can really teach us. Only you can really reach into our heart and grab us and shake us when we need that. Only you can bring the comfort that comes from your Word. Oh God, today we're just asking you to move and to work upon our hearts. Have your way and will in this service. God, I offer to you myself however you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated. If we have this morning a clear picture of God in our hearts and in our minds, it must be with absolute holiness. Any cult, any religion that detracts even the slightest from God's holiness ought to be immediately recognized as false. Anything that would disparage the deity and the Godhead of Jesus Christ or of the Spirit of God needs to be recognized and thrown away. Any worship that is given to any but God ought to immediately be cast from our hearts and our minds. Anything that would look to the earth, as so many do today, and see that as their salvation, or that would worship any creature that God has made, creatures which, by the way, are imperfect, creatures which have the curse of God upon them because they die, and of an earth that has rocked and reeled since the time of the flood of Noah, needs to be thrown out, because these things are not the true God, but God who is the holy God. Oh, how we need, I believe, a return in our hearts and our minds to the God of the book of Genesis, the one who created everything, the one who, as he began to create each day, would end with a saying, "And it was good." When he finished making man at the sixth day, he said, "And it's very good." It is this to whom we need to be looking to. But we know today that something has ruined it all, and it's called sin. We know today that God be God, and God is holy, and God is wondrous. But we also know that within each of us is this horrible thing of sin. Since the fall of man is no longer to even look at himself and make any kind of judgments about his own heart. My Bible tells me in the book of Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And I find that it says there, who can know it? For many years I would stand in this pulpit and I would say this, if I know my own heart, this is what I believe. And one day as I was reading that, I thought to myself, I can't even know it because it's so deceitful. The heart that we have within each of us But I look at our Scripture today and I find one who is not deceived. I find one here whom is a righteous judge, one who judges in righteousness. You and I, we base our judgments upon what we see. We base our judgments upon what we hear. But we find here that the Lord says that He will not judge after the sight of the eyes. Neither does it say in verse number 3, reprove after the hearing of the ears. We go to the book of Samuel, chapter 16, the first book of Samuel, and we find that it talking here about Samuel as he was about to anoint the new king over Israel. And so the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, not what you see, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Now listen to this. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You and I, we look with our eyes, we hear with our ears, and we make our decisions. And far too often they are wrong judgments because we don't know the whole story. We don't know the significance of all that might be made. Matter of fact, we make wrong judgments because often our thinking processes are perverted. I mean, have you ever had somebody say something to you and you wonder, well, why were they thinking such a thing as that? Why was that even in their heart and their mind? And that be true of all of us as we make our judgments. But God, who is holy, makes righteous judgments. It says in verse number 4, but with righteousness shall He judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins. Oh, listen, how we ought to thank God. He is a righteous judge. God, who is holy, makes righteous judgments. Three times in the New Testament you find those two words put together. Three times you find that the Lord records for us in His Holy Writ that God is one who has righteous judgments. And this morning I'd like for us, because I believe that we find in each of these tremendous significance that we might make some application in our own lives. In the book of John, chapter number 7 and verse number 24, John 7:24, He says this, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now that's an interesting statement. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. John chapter 7, if you're not there, if you would turn there with me, for there's some context I'd like for us to see here. In chapter number 7, and I read for you verse number 24, but I want to go back to verse number 23 for just a moment. John chapter 7, verse 24 says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. But notice verse 23. He says, if a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Here we find that the Jewish people are calling Jesus into question. Matter of fact, I'm going to look at three accusations they make against Him. And we find that the biggest reason, as recorded here in verse number 23, is because Jesus had made a man whole on the Sabbath day. Now the Lord makes a very clear point that they were to what? They were to circumcise on that day, that day of Sabbath. And though this would be made whole, we find that they were criticizing Him for the same thing, because He had healed a man on the Sabbath day. You would have to go clear back to chapter 5 and verses number 8, 9, and 10 to read what had taken place. In verse number 8, it said, Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up the bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now can you imagine the scene here? Here's a fellow, he's been bedbound. Here's a fellow who's been crippled. He could not get around. Jesus heals him on the Sabbath day, and a bunch of people came and they say, "You can't be walking around today. You should still be in bed. You shouldn't be carrying your bed around." And yet, he is up and he's about, and Jesus had healed him. They're not excited about the healing. They're upset because he did not, in their minds, fulfill the law of God. And so we find that they begin to question him. If you go back to chapter number 7, notice one of the things they say. There was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "But he deceiveth the people." They question his very motives. They question the fact that Jesus has come on the scene to give to them the truth, to bring the knowledge of salvation to their souls. And what do? They say, "He is deceiving the people." They question his motives. Notice verse number 15. "And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?'" Not only do they question his motives, but I believe they question his credentials. They want to know, how is it this man can be teaching these things? He's never been to our schools. He's never attended these things. He's not gone through such and such a Bible college. And he's not attended this seminary. He doesn't have the R-E-V in front of his name, which I believe most of the time means reverse. God is reverend. Okay? Please call me pastor, not reverend. Okay? Call me about anything. Don't call me late to dinner. But they question his credentials. He's the Son of God. And notice then, in verse number 20, the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee." They say to him, "You have the wrong affiliations. You're not of our group." And so we find here, they bring horrible accusations. He says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but what? Judge righteous judgment." Their judgment was not righteous for his actions, for healing a man, but they were upset because it didn't follow their protocol. You see what we're saying? And here's a man who is made completely whole, and they see it not. Verse 23, if you notice there, he says, "I have made a man every whit." He says, even the smallest part, he says, "I have brought this man from death to life. I have brought him from brokenness to wholeness." And that be the important situation. The book of Romans, chapter 2, and verse number 5. The book of Romans 2, and verse number 5. And it says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Now let me read that again. Romans 2, verse number 5. He says, "After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." He's saying to these folks, you are putting on your account more and more of the judgment of God. His righteous judgment. According to the context, what we find here, the reason for it, is that they were making judgments, but not making judgments concerning themselves. They were judging by a standard with one group of people, but they did not use it on themselves. Go back to verse number 1. He says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that teachest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. They don't recognize that which they're using on others, they need to use on themselves. They do not recognize that which they pull out of the Word of God and use on others, they need to use on themselves. And the Lord says, as a result of that, they are treasuring or they are building a treasury of God's righteous judgment upon them. They don't even recognize that God's goodness to them, which they interpret as God's approval upon their life, His goodness to them is also seeking to lead them to the position of repentance. I have come to believe that the Spirit-filled life and the life of a Christian who is walking close to God is a life of nearly constant repentiveness to Him and seeking His forgiveness and seeking for Him to thus increase Himself in our life as we recognize how we need to be decreased in our life. Such judgment without self-judgment only mounts against us. Let's keep these things in mind. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and we read this. It says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Now again, as we go back here and we look at the context of this verse, we come into some marvelous things. Notice verse number 3, if you're in that spot. He says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which ye endure, which is a manifest token. That is, it is made known of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Now let's notice here. In this case, we find the righteous judgment of God seems to be on a different level. In the previous, we saw that it was against us. But we find here that God is very interested in certain areas of our life, and He makes out of this judgment some commendation. I want you to notice what He comments on here, what it is that He is making judgment for. And He talks about in verse 3, their faith groweth exceedingly. You know, we're so interested in the outward appearance that we fail to understand there is something God is far more. He would give it. And of course, Americans automatically, they see this Christmas list. You know, they see God the Santa Claus, and He's going to supply them of all this stuff. You know what the problem is there? We're concerned about us, not God. Then we wonder why His Word doesn't seem to get answered. But God's looking at something far greater than that. And God makes judgment of our faith. Is it growing? Because your faith groweth exceedingly. Notice, secondly, talks about their charity. Now, there are folks that would ridicule and say, well, you know, that word means love. And it does mean love. And they say, well, you know, they really ought to, you know, put that in the Bible, just put love there. No, I believe God had this translated charity for a reason. Charity is love in action. You think of charity, you think of love doing something. It's giving something. It's being a part of something in somebody's life. And he says here that they are abounding in their charity toward each other. He is concerned with this, and God looks at this, and he says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Notice in verse number 4, he also commends them on their patience. And he uses the word faith again. Patience in their persecutions. Oh, how we are such whiners. Is that not true? But God says patience through all of those problems and things that we must go through. These are manifest. They are made known. They are tokens of God's righteous judgment. Now, I've said all that because I want to take you now clear back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 1. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 1. If I was to say this morning, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, you would recognize that. But I want to back up. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes and cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. As I was reading this the other day, I could not help but notice in the middle of verse 17, seek judgment. When you study Isaiah chapters 1 through 5, you will learn the indictments of God upon the nation of Israel. You'll find that God brings tremendous condemnation to these people as to their actions, their ways, their thoughts. And here in verse number 16 through 18, he is making a plea to them to repentance. Wash you, make you clean. And all how it hit me in verse 17. Seek judgment. Seek judgment. How often do we go to somebody and say, would you tell me what's wrong with me? I've had that happen once in my life. Not me doing it. Somebody did it to me. They were going through a tremendous conflict in their life and was realizing some things must not be right in their life. And the person looked at me and said, tell me what's wrong with me. You know what I said, Vicki? Are you sure? Yes, please tell me what's wrong with me. I need to know. I said, are you sure you want me to tell you what's wrong with you? Because I knew there was some real problems. They said yes. I said, please remember, you asked me to tell you this. I remember. I promise I remember. I told them what was wrong. And immediately, I had an argument. We're not very honest in this normally. Isn't that true? I mean, how many of you wives would look at your husband with all honesty and say, honey, you know, whatever you tell me, it doesn't matter. I will not be mad at you. Matter of fact, I want to know because I want to change it. I need to repent. I need this thing changing my life so bad. Would you tell me exactly what is wrong with me? Why are you folks laughing? I think it's because it's almost in the hilarious department, isn't it? We're not that way. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Can we get to that spot in our life where we're willing to say to the righteous judge, we're not talking about what's seen, we're not talking about what's heard, we're talking about God who knows it all. He knows what we've done, He knows what we've said, I mean, He knows all of those things, but He also knows the heart, which we don't even know. Two words. What difference would it make in our lives if we were to seek judgment? Seek judgment. We find from Romans that we are very quick to judge others and to use harsh standards that we would not use upon ourselves. We find from John that there were people who even made judgments about our Lord and our Savior. We find in 2 Thessalonians that our God, He makes judgments and He sees the good, by the way, as well as the evil. So I come to the book of Isaiah and I find these words, seek judgment. And I marvel because as I look at these words and consider what God wants me to do, in coming to Him and saying to God, just lay it open to me. I need to bring all of this stuff to Your feet. Reveal it to me that I might confess it. Would that change your life? Many years ago, back in the early days of when we had started our school, I went to a convention. And I remember at that convention that the founder, he got up and he said something to us I never had forgotten. He says, "Men, we are facing a tremendous crisis in our nation. We need to know why we believe what we believe." He said, "We need to go back and inspect every area of our lives, our ministry, of our churches, and we need to look at it and see, is it biblical?" So I began to inspect. Now I did this. I didn't allow God to do it. I must confess. I even asked, why do we pass an offering basket? I had to look at all of those things. But I think this is even deeper. It is saying, God, would You reveal to me everything that's wrong? See, here's the problem today. We walk around with our masks on, do we not? We get up in the mornings and we know who we are to some degree, but we don't want anybody else to know. And so we hide. Matter of fact, we walk into church and just had a fight with the wife on the way to church. "How you doing?" "Oh, just fine, brother. Couldn't be better." Liar. It's the way we are. But we don't hide from each other. We hide from God. Seek judgment. Lord, here I am. Show me what's wrong. Get that into your being. Now go to verse 18. Now let's look at what he says in verse 18. Come what? Now. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know why we never get to verse 18? We pass over verse 17. We pass over allowing God to really speak to our hearts. We don't let Him bring judgment into our lives. Oh, we're pious. We walk to church. We come in. The preacher preaches. And we think, boy, I hope old sister's hearing this. Oh, brother so-and-so. Oh, God, bring conviction upon his hell-deserving soul. And we're not seeking the judgment of God upon our own sin. If I preach with the finger and realize not the three coming back, I am guilty. Oh, how we need to seek God's judgment in our life. His righteous judgment. That which is true. That which is exactly on target. Allowing Him then to bring it to the surface, we might seek Him and confess it. And knowing this, brethren, when you confess it, when you have reasoned with God, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. And to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God wants to do. God is in the cleansing business. But as long as you and I are hiding the dirt, not allowing it to be exposed, it never gets cleansed. And we continue on and on and on in our lives. Let God judge your life. Open yourself to it. Allow Him. I'll guarantee if you say, God, what's wrong with me? You have an answer about that quick. And when you get that one taken care of, pray it again, you'll get another answer. But I'll tell you what, cleanliness really, can I use these words, feels good. That's when we begin to walk with God. Because now we're clean. That's what God wants. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, today, I pray You work on our hearts. Lord, we are so prone to cover. We're so prone to look away, but not to allow You to reveal to us the need of our life. God, forgive me. Forgive us. Oh, God, today, may we be a people who seek Your judgment, not fear it, not run from it, but God, that we desire the righteous judgment of God. And Lord, that we might have that purity. We might have that clean walk with You. We might have that wondrous salvation that only You can bring. Dear God, work in our hearts in these moments. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Emily, if you begin to play, please.